Thank you, Shelley. I appreciate it. Thank you to everyone here. And really, Bershus Rabbi Gettinger, who I've had the opportunity of hearing many times over the years, and it's really a privilege to be speaking here. And Rabbi Cohn is currently at my shul at 76th Street, so we did a shul swap just for the evening over here. So I was told 15 minutes, but I can't see the clock from here, and I really want to stick to it. It's right there, right? Is it in my sight?
7:21.
Okay, good. Perfect. All right, let's keep that in my view if you don't mind. Okay, good. All right, so I thought, what could I do in this time period here? I figured what I would do is bring you just some insight into Yom Kippur davening. So I'm not going to be here Yom Kippur. God willing, I'll be back on 76th Street or hopefully in Eretz Yisrael. But either way, I'm not going to be here. So I wanted to share with you some insight into the Yom Kippur davening. And we'll go through it point by point, just some little nuggets to take with you as we go into the davening. Start off Yom Kippur, and you have the kittel, right? The kittel. Why do you wear the kittel? So if you look around in the Sefer Minhagim, the different Svarim that talk about customs and why we do them, two reasons, totally opposite. Some say on Yom Kippur, you're like the Malachim. You're like angels. You're like angels. Another strand of history within the Minhagim says the reason why you put on the kittel going into Yom Kippur is the tachrichin, is the shroud, reminiscent, to keep one humble, the day of their death, to keep one in a very lowly state going into Yom Kippur. Two totally opposite pshatim as to why in the world we wear this kittel going into Yom Kippur. You have the same type of dichotomy by the inuyim, the different things that the different afflictions, so to speak, that we do to ourselves on Yom Kippur. The five inuyim, right? No shoes. Why do we do these things? So one idea is that v'nisem es nafshoseichem, you shall afflict your souls, make it tough for you. Yom Kippur is supposed to be a little difficult for you. Ramban said the reason is to make us more like malachim, to make us angelic. We divest ourselves of the physical to make us more like Malachim. So you see this idea as well, these two ideas. On one hand, make ourselves like we're almost dead, like nothing, gornish. At the other hand, we're supposed to make ourselves like we're sublime, holy, like angels. So you have also the two seirim. The Achronim talk about how the two seirim, the two animals that are brought, the two goats, you have totally opposites. You have one that goes to Hashem and that's offered, and you have the seir la'azazel, the one that's thrown off the mountain, thrown off the cliff over there. One totally dead and one lifted to the highest of heights. So you have this dichotomy again. So what's the idea over here? So I thought this is exactly the point. This is the point of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, you remove the most base part of yourselves. You get rid of all the physical as much as possible in Yom Kippur that we can do on this earth. And when you get to the point where you've removed yourself from the physical, whether mentally or actually physically, at that point, you're ready to soar like an angel. So the two are not really opposites. In order to get to the other one as a human being, you have to go through the portal that says remove yourself of the physical, which one does on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur night, we start off at the beginning with the Or Zaruah Letzadik, calling out Or Zaruah Letzadik. This is a story by the Midler Rebbe, Lubavitch Rebbe, the Midler Rebbe. There was a certain Jew in town who was collected by the government, the Russian anti-Semitic government, and thrown into prison. And the family was so nervous for this individual, he wasn't coming out. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed, and he wasn't being let out. And they said, let's raise some money. Every time they raised some money, the Russian government lifted the amount of ransom to get the Jew out of jail. They didn't know what they were going to do. Yom Kippur was approaching. One holy Jew took it upon himself. He said, I'm going to raise that money no matter what they want. I'm going to find that money. And he's going from place to place, nothing. And he said, you know where the wealthy Jews are? The enlightened Jews. The enlightened Jews are now in the taverns before Yom Kippur. That's where I'm going to go get them. So he storms into the taverns and he says, please, there's a Jew in our community who's stuck and we need to raise money. We need to be able to get him out. And they say, listen, Jew, you want some money from us? Have a drink. Sit down. Take a vodka. He sits with them, fine, makes a l'chaim, they give him a couple rubles. He says, I need so much more than this. Again, the next one says, you want some money? Have a shot with me. Takes a shot, nuts, over and over. They keep telling him, every shot you take will give you a few more rubles. And they're going, and they're going, and they're going, and they're going all day, Erev Yom Kippur, and they're going. Finally, he gets the money, he stumbles into the prisons, and he throws it in front of the Russian government. They let out the Jew right before Yom Kippur. That night, the Midler Rebbe has the holy Yom Kippur davening, and at the beginning of davening, by the Or Zaruah Letzadik, all of a sudden, this Jew comes stumbling in, he's knocking into walls, he's falling all over his face, and everything's quiet, and the Midler Rebbe is giving an inspiring speech, and he screams out, 200 for Atah Reisa! And everybody's looking at him like he's crazy, but shh, and he stumbles, and he gets up and falls in another chair, 400 rubles Atah Reisa! They're like, shh, keep quiet! He says, 800 Atah Reisa. And they're all screaming at him, get out of here, you're making a mockery of yourself. And the Midler Rebbe got up, he clapped on the shtender, and he said, if you realized what he had done already, this Jew today, you'd realize that he's already holding Bayata Reisa on Simchas Torah. He doesn't need the speech before Kol Nidre. That's something to think about. Or Zaruah Letzadik. Then we move on to Kol Nidre. Everybody's davening, waiting Yom Kippur for the holiest tefillos of the year, Kol Nidre night. We get there, davening Yom Kippur, ready to soar like malachim, like angels, as we said. And there we are. We look at the paragraph. Certainly newcomers who haven't been in shul in years, they read the English and they see about promises and vows and breaking vows. And it's so technical. And if you know what's going on in the Kol Nidre, it's very halachic back and forth. And this is how we start one of the holiest days of the year. Second question is also at that point, we say the Shechianu. Right, the Shechianu. Usually you have a cup of wine over which you make the Shechianu. You have something when you start a yontif. You have a cheftza shel mitzvah, even object of a mitzvah that you make your Shechianu on. The question is here, where's your object of a mitzvah? Okay, two questions, the Kol Nidre. One, how do we start with this technical thing? And number two, right there you have the Shechianu as well. Where's your object of mitzvah that you make the Shechianu? So in Los Angeles, which is where I'm from, I remember going next door, because next door to my parents, there's a Hasidic Rav in town, and he had the Kalev Rebbe over. So I went to go say Good Shabbos to the Kalev Rebbe. So I went over, wished him Good Shabbos, and I remember shaking my hand, and he froze. And they say he could tell you everything about you. He knows once he stops, he could tell you everything that you've done. And I'm getting nervous when he's freezing over there. He knows what I did to the teacher's car. I'm finished. He stops, and then he says to me, Shal nalecha me'al raglecha, ki amokom asher ata omed alav admas kodeshu. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he goes to the burning bush, God, he's told, remove the shoes from your feet, right? When the place where you stand is holy ground. He says, I want to give you pshat in this pasuk. He says, if you realize that no matter where you stand in life, ki amakom asher ata omer alav, no matter where you stand in life is holy ground, shal nalecha. You could remove na'al from the Hebrew word of shackles, locks. You could remove the shackles from your feet. You're not bound. You're not held down. If you realize wherever you are is an amazing and holy place, you can keep moving. You can keep going. That's what we have in the mitzvah of v'halachta bedrachav, right? To follow God's ways. The Lubavitcher Rebbe says, what do you mean v'halachta bedrachav? Lubavitcher Rebbe says, it comes from to be holchim, right? The angels are considered omdim. They don't move. Humans are considered holchim. They're always moving. They're always growing. And v'halachta bedrachav tells you, you have to let every single mitzvah take you to a different place than you were before. Holchim, you have to keep moving, you have to keep growing, you have to realize that you're never stuck. That, I believe, is the beauty of going into Yom Kippur with Kol Nidre. You go into the Kol Nidre, it teaches you that you're never stuck. No matter what you did, there's a way out. As the Kotzker Rebbe said, a Jew has to realize there's always another way. There's always a workaround. There's always a way out. And the Kol Nidre, as technical as it is, it shows you no matter what you've done, and no matter what you might get yourself into, there's always a way to shal nalecha, to remove them. That's why you finish Yom Kippur with Ne'ilah. Ne'ilah is the same word, because at the end, when you're setting in your new shoes in place, the way you're going to go during the year, you realize, I can move in any direction I want right now. I can make that choice over here. And what's with the Shechianu? Perhaps the Shechianu, Rav Soloveitchik said. Rav Soloveitchik said, the Shechianu is teaching us that when we realize that we have so much potential within us, on Yom Kippur, we become the Cheftza Shel Mitzvah. We become the object of the Mitzvah. Our change is what we're making the Bracha on the Shechianu. That's the Davar Shel Mitzvah. The fact that we're able to do this kind of tshuva and make this change in Yom Kippur. Then we move over and you read a lot, we're going to do a lot of Al-Chaitz over Yom Kippur. So what's Pshat always in the odd one out is always Al-Chaitz Shechatayim B'Vidoy Peh, on the sins that we've done with confessing with our mouth. That's what we're supposed to do. Vidoy is great, one of the mitzvahs. What's wrong with Vidoy Peh? So I saw in the Sefer Yunim B'Mo'adim. The Sefer Yunim B'Mo'adim says Vidoy Peh, what that means is lip service. Someone who talks a lot. They love Yom Kippur. They go through everything I've done, but where's the action behind it? Okay, you talked a lot, but what are you going to do? Where's the maisa behind everything you said? We all said things. We all said things we're going to do, we're committed to do, or pledges we said we're going to make, or ways we said we're going to help. But the question is, are we really doing something about it? That's Vidoy Peh that we're apologizing for. Not being proactive and taking action, following through, executing in our plans. Next, we talk about Tshuva, Tfila, Tzedakah, Mavirnes, Ro Gzera. Tshuva, Tfila, and Tzedakah, remove the evil decree. It's a great medrash. Adam Arishon is standing there, and Cain is in court for killing Hevel. Cain all of a sudden comes out of court, and Adam, his father, says, knew how did it go? Cain says, I'm good, I'm clear, I'm off. So he says, what do you mean you're off? You killed your brother. What happened over there? So Cain says back to him, Asiti Tshuva, I did Tshuva, v'nispasharti imkono. I did Tshuva, and I made a deal with God. I did tshuva and I cracked a deal with God. And Adam Arishon never heard about this concept of tshuva. He said, had I known about this, I would have done this a while ago. I would have done this tshuva thing. And the Medrash ends that he falls to his knees and it says he sings Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. What a strange medrash. First of all, what does it mean that he didn't know if he would have done tshuva? What happened? How did Cain get off the hook? And then what does it mean at the end that he belted out Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos? That song of all songs right then and there. So perhaps we could say this. Rav Tzvi Melech Dinover, the great Hasidic Rebbe, Rav Tzvi Melech Dinover says, what's the idea of tshuva? He takes a step back. He says, what's the idea of tefillah? What tefillah does is, when you daven, how do you get rid of something you did? God knows what you did. What, you're trying to make a deal with God? God, I didn't do it? No, God knows you did it. God knows you did it, and strict justice would say you have to pay up for what you did. So how do you get out of it? So Rav Tzvi Melech Dinover's approach is as follows. He says, when you daven, what you do is instead of just being, let's say you're Phil, right? If you daven, you become Phil B. You become somebody else entirely. Through tshuva and tefillah, you don't get rid of something you've done before. You can't, it's there. It's on the books. It's in the history. You can't rewrite history. It's there. But what you do is you recreate yourself on a totally different plane. And that new person of you become is untouchable. You haven't done anything yet. You're clean. That's the concept of tefillah, says Rav Tzvi Melech Dinover. That's the concept of tshuva. You take that as well, and you understand that's why he's saying Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. Shabbos, according to the Chidah, says every single week we start over and we recreate our week from scratch, as though the other week never even happened. This week is a whole brand new week, none touched by the week before, not affected by anything you did the week before. Shabbos lets you restart the clock, and that's this idea of tshuva tefillah tzedakah. Why? What's tshuva? Tshuva, as we said before, tshuva lets you recreate yourself to be a totally different person than you were before. What's tefillah? Tefillah, the same idea. That's where Rav Dinover started, where Melchizedek Dinover started. When you daven, you recreate yourself, you take yourself to a different level, and your mom is a different person than you were before. What's tzedakah? How did that fit into the equation? Should be what? Tshuva, tefillah, shatness. How did tzedakah get into the mix over there? Why tzedakah? Tzedakah is taking someone else and allowing them to be somebody different than they were before. Before, they were someone who couldn't afford even money for food for Shabbos. Now, by you giving them tzedakah, not only you transform yourself, that's for sure, but you also help somebody else be somebody different than they were before. Someone who couldn't enjoy things before, someone who could enjoy, appreciate a yontif, now because of you, you're able to do that. That's tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah. We talk about the avoda. Very difficult to go through the avoda if you're not following everything that's going on in the process of the offerings in Yom Kippur. But we talk about one of the essences of the avoda is itzumo shel yom mechaper, that the essence of the day, because of what was going on itself with the avoda, that was able to help us achieve kapara, able to help us achieve atonement. I know in the shul I see a lot to do b'levavi mishkan evne. So there's a beautiful idea that he shares, the Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. He looks at the Gemara, says that Rabbi Akiva at the end of Yoma, Rabbi Akiva says, Ashreichem Yisrael, praiseworthy you Jews, lifnei miatem mitarim, before whom you purify yourselves, umi mitar eschem, and who purifies you. And Rabbi Akiva in the Gemara goes on to quote two psukim. One, mikveh Yisrael Hashem, the mikveh of the Jewish people is God. And the other pasuk he quotes is, zarakti aleichem mayim taharim, I throw upon you purifying waters. Why two psukim? Just quote one. That we purify ourselves before God. Why do you need two? So says the Bilvavi Mishkan Evne, beautiful idea. Zarakti aleichem, I throw it upon you. That's tahara. That's purity from a distance. God throws upon you. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, that Hashem Himself is the mikveh, that's Yom Kippur. That's Itzumo Shel Yom Mechaper. That's the essence of the day. Just coming in contact with the day itself, that is the atonement. Just being there, being with God on this day, that becomes the Mikveh Yisrael of Hashem. The Mikveh of Yisrael is God, and that's how we become pure on this day. Then we move over to Mincha. Okay, we got 2 minutes. We move over to Mincha. And at Mincha time, we ask for permission to daven with the Av. We ask, first of all, we ask permission to daven earlier. We ask the beginning of Yom Kippur to daven with the Avaryonim, to daven with the sinners. Are we so perfect that we're asking to daven with the sinners? All of us are saying it. We're tzaddikim, everybody else is the sinners. We should say, God, thank you for davening with me on Yom, being here with me on Yom Kippur. Why the Avaryonim? So I bring this up by Mincha, because you always wonder why the reading Mincha, right? You're about to get to Ne'ilah. Everyone, this is the moment. Ne'ilah is Lahavdil, bottom of the ninth. You're right there by Ne'ilah. And all of a sudden, what do you read about? You read about Gilei Arayos at Mincha. You read about deviants. That's what you're reading at Mincha. You're reading about people who have a sick problem. That's what you're supposed to read at Mincha. Pick a beautiful parsha. Pick something. The Avos. Pick something beautiful. Why are you reading Gilei Arayos? So I saw Rabbi Riskin, former rabbi from Lincoln Square, in Efrat, has on the Haggadah. Beautiful idea. He says the four sons at the meal, at the Pesach Seder, is really four parts of all of our personality. Each one of us has within us a little bit of a Rasha, a little bit of a Tzaddik, a little bit of Chacham, and a little bit of a simple one who doesn't know how to ask any questions. And God is saying, I want you to bring all of you to the Pesach Seder. Don't be afraid to come. Bring all of you. Bring all of yourself. Your entire personality and your essence and your being, bring it to the Pesach Seder. You keep this in mind. This could be the same idea. On Yom Kippur, God is saying, I want to see you in your highs and your lows. I want the Kohen Gadol in the middle of the Avoda here on Yom Kippur, and I want to see you, even when you're worst, I want to speak to you in Yom Kippur. I want you to come to the Mikvah Yisrael Hashem. I want you to be there. And the permission that we're asking for the Avaryonim, could be the permission we're asking to daven with that side of ourselves that's not perfect. That side of ourselves that still has a lot to work on. That's the Avaryonim we're speaking about. The part of us that's still lacking, that's still weak. And that's unfortunately why we read about the Gilei Arayos, because we're not perfect. We have sides of ourselves that are dark, that suffer, that go through things that aren't correct, that aren't always appropriate. And we're saying we include every part of our soul into the Yom Kippur experience. Ne'ilah. Ne'ilah is all the way at the end. I mean, you look at the Shmoneh Esrei Ne'ilah, you have the bracha, Baruch Aleinu Sashana Zos, that Hashem should bless this year. So the Belzer Rebbe asks a great question. The year's over. But God should bless this year, right? By Mincha Erev Rosh Hashanah, he asks this as well. Mincha, right before Rosh Hashanah, we say, God, you should bless this year. Year's over, my friend. It's too late if you're asking for a bracha now. Year's starting next. You should leave that bracha out. He says, great line. He says, Yeshua Hashem Keherafayim. God could save in the blink of an eye. He doesn't need a whole year to wipe the slate clean. He needs one good Mincha, one good Ne'ilah, and the whole thing could be clean. One Ne'ilah, and it's all over. Gemara in Brachas, Vavam Abeis, says, Ayotze Mibeis HaKnesses Al Yafsi Psiya Gasa. One who leaves from the shul shouldn't take giant steps. You shouldn't be running out of shul when you leave shul. Rav Pam, such a beautiful thought. Rav Pam says on Yom Kippur, and he gave this speech once, Ne'ilah. He says, after Ne'ilah's over, when you run, don't run away too fast. Keep the ideas of Yom Kippur. Whatever you learned in your davening, whatever you prayed for, keep it with you when you leave Yom Kippur. Al Yafsi Psiya Gasa. Don't run out of shul too fast after Yom Kippur. Meaning, take these ideas to heart. Everything you davened for, everything you cried about, everything you heard in shul, bring that and share that, and share that with your family, and share that with yourself through the entire year. Mirza Hashem, this Yom Kippur, we should have Yizocha to truly enter into the Mikvah Yisrael Hashem and achieve Tara into our entire lives. Thank you. Shabbat.